Well, let's take up today's particular Bible memory verse on page 10. Okay, well, let's take a look at this, shall we? And we pick up one particular lesson that will help us understand today's message in this whole series. Okay, it's not difficult to memorize. It's very short, but it's most important. Shall we? Let's take a look. And you are complete in. Let's try it together. Ready? 2:10. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Now, what is strange? Because there is no way in which you can actually translate this properly. Take a look at this idea. You are complete in Him. Right? Now, if we were to read it in the English text, it simply means we are presently. What about tomorrow? Will we be complete in Him then? How about next year? Will we be complete in Him? We don't know. Right? At least not from the English text. But if you were to appreciate this text, what Paul was really trying to say is, let me translate it make it simple for you. And you have been completed in Him. We call this the perfective idea. The perfect tense simply talks about something which God has done. It's complete in every sense of the word, and you don't need to add anything to it. It's complete, right? I don't know how to explain this idea of a completeness. Poor illustration. I use the word poor illustration, and I think Singaporeans have that bit of a problem. Everything is doused with ketchup. Order a steak, and we say, get it. Would you like it? Well, how is it? Is it like rare, medium, well done? Whatever. And ketchup goes in. What for you want to call it rare, medium, or well done if you're going to add that orangey stuff put inside there? Complete. No need to add anything at all. Think about this. Right? So when you take a look at it, what do you want to add? Nothing to add. It's there. The juice must be there. Of course, if you're eating leather, it's a different story. Then you need a lot of ketchup. And are you going to chew forever? But it's not. We are complete in Him. And I'm going to explain how does it work? What does it mean, complete? And this word is a beautiful word. And this idea of being complete in Christ is what we are going to study very carefully in the book of in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. And so we're going to take a little bit of time to understand it bit by bit, what it really means to be complete. Right? Now, when Paul wrote to the Philippians, and he says, that which God has begun, He will complete it. Not the same idea. That one has to do with immaturity, imperfection, and God is going to work on them till that work needs to be done. It is complete. Right? This one is not. This word complete has the idea of fullness. It's already there, and it waits to be discovered. There is a fullness about this idea of Christ, and we are complete in a sense of fullness. Now, we're going to take time to explain, and so this whole 2 months, the next 2 months, March and April, will help us explore this idea of our completeness that is in Christ. And I hope that you will be excited. The last couple of months, I want to say thank you for writing and sharing and speaking about how you found strength in the Lord through all the many challenges of life. The next 2 months, and I hope you will explore this further, your faith in Christ Jesus will tremendously stand you in good stead. And the whole idea is that we can be complete in Christ. Now, let's take a look at this very, very, very carefully. Okay? Now, a little bit about the Colossians. Let's turn to the book, Paul's epistle to the Colossians, and we'll see this. What do we know about the Colossian church? Well, this much we know. Paul did not found the church. He was not a starter. Okay, this much we know. Will there be a significant difference if he wasn't there to drive things? And you'll find that's what it means. We are so, they are complete in Christ. Whether or not Paul is there, the church can be full of energy, life, power, and everything you expect when you look at the word complete. Isn't it wonderful? And the Colossian church displayed the things which are there. Well, let's begin with the whole idea of the Colossian church. And let's begin with who founded it then. All right, let's take a look. And in verse 7, we see this description of this man here. Just as we learned from Epaphras. And Paul described him in this way. And in this idea of complete in Christ, in this idea of what it means to be a complete servant of Christ, you see this exemplified in Epaphras. Sometimes we ask ourselves, what does it mean to be a servant of the Lord? And we ask, what are the things we expect? Okay, look at verse 7. Let's take a look. Whom you learned from Epaphras, who was one, a beloved fellow servant. How does he know how to be a fellow servant? How does he know what it means to be a beloved fellow servant? And then, who is a faithful servant of Christ for you? So we see a number of things. Regarded as a beloved fellow servant, described as a faithful person serving God, faithful minister, a faithful servant. How do you know what he can become? Remember, Colossians 2:10. He can be such. Why? Because he is complete in Christ. So the idea of fullness is behind the idea of the word complete. Right? So this is the whole idea. Can he become a faithful servant of Christ? Yes. How do we know? How can we be assured of that? It's already in the works. Completed in Christ. It's planned for. It's factored in. It's there already. It's all there. How can he be a faithful minister of Christ? How can we be very certain? Complete in Christ. And anyone who understands this brings a great joy and confidence within himself. But remember, we're going to talk about faith in the months of March and April. Right? Strength is one thing. Enlightenment is another. Faith is a third. And each one has its own place.
So how do I know that this can be done? This is possible.
Colossians 2:10. Go back to it. Complete.
Can these two young men become faithful? Can they become fellow beloved servants? Yes. How? Complete in Christ.
You know, I was telling them, don't see the intern pastorship as a crossroad. There's no crossroad. It's just only a milestone.
There is a difference between the student pastor's training is a crossroad. Here you decide, am I called? Can I do it? Can I really do it? No. Is this God's calling? If not, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
Crossroad. You can change direction.
But if the calling is there, we go on to the next step. Guess what? Colossians 2:10 applies. Complete in Christ. Can you make it? Will you be able to? Yes. How do we know? Complete in Christ. You see, the difference is understanding it, what it really, really means. So this is important. The idea that is of fullness to become a faithful servant of God. Fullness is the idea behind this idea of being complete. Can you become effective? Yes. We don't know who this Epaphras is. We don't need to know who Epaphras is. All we need is to know who Christ is to them. The focus is in Christ Jesus. And if Christ is the Savior, He is truly the Lord. If faith is in Him, then you know what? It's going to be a done deal. You don't have to worry about it. Now, but if that faith is not applied, it's a different story. If the calling is not there, it's a different story. See, student pastors' days are, okay, now we're coming to, once we know where it is, where we're going to go, from here onwards, it's a milestone. There is a difference between a milestone and your crossroads. No turning back. No need to turn back. Right? No need to redecide because it's where it is. That's how we understand it. So we begin with a person, and that person is Epaphras. We don't know anything more about him except that this man has been proven to be a faithful fellow servant, beloved of Paul and others. Okay, well, let's take a look at the work that was done in the Colossian church. Right? What is a Colossian church like? Is it, it may not be as famous as a Philippian church as such, but how did it work? Paul was not there. Epaphras was there. What are some of the characteristic features? Let's take a look. Okay, let's take a look very, very carefully and look at verse 4 and down. Verse 4, we read, hearing of your faith in Christ Jesus. Now, that's a key word, in Christ Jesus. Now, if a person has faith in Christ Jesus, will it make a difference? Remember, complete in Christ. Whether you are a servant of God, whether it's a church that has faith in Jesus Christ, the focus is in Christ and faith in Christ Jesus. The same faith. Now that is what we are looking at in verse 4. Having heard, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. What's next? And you see this wonderful description. And of your love for all the saints. Look at it. Very absolutely important. Can you see this? The next thing that comes forth is a sense of love that is there. Remember, it's not a kind of faith. It is simply Christ Jesus. It's just locked in to Christ Jesus. That's all there is to it. Right? So if we understand this concept of what it means to have faith in Christ Jesus, then we can be complete in more ways than one. Right? So the church can be filled with faith. The beloved members of the church will have this, remember, fullness. Faith and its fullness is there. Love and its fullness is there too. It's all part of being complete in Christ. Now, sometimes over the years, we take for granted what it means to have faith in Christ. Sort of, it loses its luster, it loses its beauty, and sometimes we just need to be reminded that our faith in Christ Jesus makes all the difference in the world. And that's what we want to do. There is that fullness that we must look at. Right? So there is faith. Now, it does not look like very much, but remember, this faith in Christ has tremendous potential. The idea of the completeness is that there is a fullness about this faith. And this fullness is a very real thing. So that a person starting out can look forward to being filled, faithfulness, effectiveness, fruit. It's there in Christ, guaranteed, provided we use faith. The church, though it may start off small, is it capable of it? Is it capable of love that is there? Absolutely. And there is one more thing, and that is hope that is laid up in heaven for us. Now, isn't this a wonderful thought to begin with as we begin a new series of messages? How does it work? How does it work? And this is important. Let's look further to 1:6. And we see, this is the faith, love, and hope, verses 4 and 5. And then we read, which has come to you as it is also in all the world. It's true anywhere, everywhere. If there is that faith in Christ Jesus. Now, this is important. Right? It must be centered in Christ Jesus. It must be faith in Christ Jesus. And then the Lord takes over. What does it do? It brings forth fruit. And that is what we want to understand and appreciate. It can bring forth fruit. Now, sometimes if we look at this word here, which is very difficult to understand this. You know, at the junior camp coming up in June, evening series, we're going to portray the life of a lady called Mary Slessor. Now, from Scotland, not well educated, had to work from a very, very young age, had to fend for herself. Father was a drunkard, and it was a difficult time. But remember, complete in Christ. And so she went to Nigeria, modern-day Nigeria, the Calabar region, and there began her ministry. Now, here is a young lady, complete in Christ, and absolutely amazing, because one of the achievements in her life was that she was appointed by the United Kingdom government to become a judge in a region there. Now, she hasn't gone to be called to the bar in any way. She's not a lawyer. She hasn't even gone to university. But she was appointed. So there is a governor general, and she's number two. How did she do that? The governor general cannot do half of what she did. I said, absolutely. They call her Ma Slessor. They gave her another title. They call her Queen of the Calabar region. When she wanted to go to another place to establish work, all the villagers turned up. 1,000 people wept and told her, you must not leave this Okoyong region. That she must go. She says, I must sow and serve the Lord. And I must bring the word elsewhere. How could a not well-educated young lady from Scotland, that region has taken lives of hundreds of missionaries, They couldn't cope. But not only did she cope, she thrived and went on to become a judge in that whole region there. And the chieftains listened to her. They will listen to every word she says. How did she do this? It's not she. It is complete in Christ. See, this is the challenge of it all. If only we will understand our position in Christ Jesus. What draws out that fullness? What draws out that fullness is simply our faith in Christ Jesus. This is why Paul wrote, "Having since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints and of the hope laid up for you in heaven," 4, 5, and then 6, which is in all the world, it is the same. Whether it is in Nigeria then, or whether it is in the days of Paul, or whether it is in our present day, makes no difference. You see, the challenge is to exercise our faith. The problem is our faith is dormant. The problem is we have not realized the fullness, that word behind the word complete, fullness, the fullness that is there in our life, in our faith potential, in what we can attempt and achieve. It's all there. Can you be the very best? Yes. Exercise that faith in Christ Jesus. It brings forth fruit, Colossians 1:6. And faith is what brings out the fruits that we can have in Christ Jesus. And this morning, as we look into the challenge of the Lord's Word, for this beginning for this Sunday, throughout the whole month of March and April, remember, there is tremendous fullness, power, simply because we are complete. Remember, this idea of being completed is already done. As far as God is concerned, it's a done deal. Right? So what stops us when we don't exercise our faith? When we don't know the Lord? When we don't comprehend how faith is to be utilized, then all the fullness that God meant it to be will then not be able to be completed. But as far as God's perspective is concerned, it's done. To imagine the power, the fullness, the things that we all can attempt and achieve for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is staggering to comprehend what we are looking at. And Bethany must be our story jointly. We began 1973 with just 25 people. And now we have 460 people going to the church camp. We've come a long way. And that's how it should be. Right? And this is our challenge, to find that fullness in Christ Jesus, in and through our faith in Him. Well, let's prepare our hearts for communion, shall we?